This is Afternoon Pancakes. My name is Jared Malott. I'm here with my good friend Stephen Reed. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fantastic today, my friend. How are you?
Busy, and I think there's a lot of good things on the horizon. For not just the Colts, not just Stampede Blue, me personally, the things that are going on around me, I'm excited to share with you. Let's see, last time we sat down and talked, let me take a look here. I believe it was the end of February. Yeah, February 20th. Right after Carson Wentz was became an
Indian. Yeah, we decided we were gonna wait for a little bit.
Yeah.
Until some big news came out, because we had free agency coming up, so we were like, you know, there's not a lot to talk about right now with no combine, with
right.
You know, limited pro days,
right?
Like no news at all. So we were
except Steven. Every pro day has been all world.
Yeah, well,
it seems
obviously.
Like guys are running like 4.140s and benching 900 pounds, and you're like, really? I didn't see that on tape. That's weird. And I'm mostly, that's tongue in cheek for those of you not in the know. Normally, things like pro days are heavily televised, and they largely have been, but when it comes to the 40-yard dash specifically, you never see the radar. You are only like told what their 40 was. When there's an NFL combine, you get to see the radar. You get to see like three different timers. They average them out, and so yeah, every literally like Rondale Moore has looked all world, and although I'm a Purdue fan and as a result a fan of Rondale Moore, I'm guessing his 40 was a little rigged. That's just a general thought. I hope that if he's as fast as he says he is, we're in league's in trouble. But yeah, no combine, limited viewership of pro days. Shortened seasons are just gonna make this draft unique in that I think, you know, if you look back about 5 years ago, the drafts were really bad. Like teams were just horrible at it, and you could go even farther back, right? But when I used to say 5 years ago to now, they've gotten better in the last 5 years, where like last year, actually the last couple years, I felt like the drafts were almost chalk, where that just means like for wherever you prognosticated them to go, like largely they kind of happened. This season is going to be unique because like we said, there's just a ton of information missing. And it's another unique puzzle that I, for one, am completely confident the Colts are going to kill another draft. Like, I already know that. I'm just saying, like, I think that other teams are still really bad at this, and that's a good thing if you're a Colts fan. So we try to largely stay off the air if we don't have anything interesting to talk about, just because Steven and I can literally sit here for hours on end and ramble and it not really be anything entertaining for you all. It's just two guys talking about life. So we want to make sure when there's a boatload of good news that we do sit down in the off season anyway, at least like once a month or so, and give you the good news. So obviously, last time we sat down, brother, we talked about Carson Wentz becoming a Colt, how excited we were about that. And then now we get to sit down and say, hey, how about Colts re-sign fan favorite T.Y. Hilton? Nor if I if it you know my wife weren't trying to sleep right now, I'd say, can I get, you know, three claps and a Ric Flair woo? But I'm really excited to have TY back, specifically with a guy like Carson Wentz, who's a little more mobile, because where TY excels is when plays get extended. He's able to find the soft spot in the zone and sit down a la Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison with Peyton back in the day. So yeah, anytime you get, you know, a captain type player, to stick around, particularly in an off season like this with the salary cap change, kind of thwarting teams' ability to pay big money to bring in a guy. It was really nice to see the Colts hang on to T.Y. Also re-signed Xavier Rhodes, which is a really important signing given how successful Xavier was in 2020. And then it appears, of course, Colts are still in talks with Justin Houston and also other free agent edge rushers, and we'll kind of see where we land there. I do want to point out, because I know there's a lot of people that are like, oh, let Justin Houston go. Justin Houston was eating double teams last year, and that's why other guys were able to flourish, is because they weren't being double teamed as frequently. Guys like DeForest Buckner benefit from playing beside guys like Justin Houston, because you have to double block Justin Houston because he will eat someone up one-on-one. He's a technician. So, yeah, it's important. Obviously, we've talked about, you know, the Colts have talked about it. We've tarped on it on this podcast, Stephen, how important it is to build in the trenches, right? And specifically with the Colts, and this season, again, we find ourselves going to be talking a lot about the trenches, right? Anthony Costanzo retired. Colts are going to have to replace their left tackle, which is, you know, probably arguably like the second most important position on the offensive line outside of center, in my opinion, because the quarterback center exchange is the most important part of an offense in terms of like a play getting going. But yeah, the Colts have made some moves, and I'll let you kind of talk about those because I'm still in the process of basically defending my home from an invaded. We've been invaded by a small dog. My wife and I got a pocket pit bull puppy that weighs about 5 pounds, and she's a terror. I'm just kidding. She's asleep on a chair next to me. But yeah, tell me about Sam Tevy and Julian Davenport and Isaac Rochelle,
if you will. All right. So all those guys are guys that Chris Ballard brought in on the cheap. Mm-hmm. Likely won't cost against the compensatory pick formulation with calculation. So right now, the Colts have lost a couple guys that count towards that, with Danico Autry, Jacoby Brissett, Anthony Walker. So the Colts right now are looking at a fifth and 2 6th round pick compensatory picks, which is big for Chris Ballard.
Yes.
He likes them picks.
Yes.
You're looking at the guys he brought in. Sam Tevy is a swing tackle, played a lot for the Chargers, was not great, but he's serviceable in a backup role, which is, I think Chris Ballard's entire plan this offseason is to kind of revamp the depth of the offensive line position. And I think he's done that. You look at Julian Davenport, he's got experience at left tackle. I think those guys are probably going to be battling it out in camp. They're probably both going to be on the roster because basically Sam Tevy is going to be your swing guy. So taking over that Joe Haig kind of role. Mm-hmm. And then Julian Davenport's probably going to be more like your, like a Chaz Green almost, or I can't think of his name for the life of me. Former fourth round pick from like the last year, Gregson. I think I just block everything out. But he's a backup tackle for the longest time. And backup Anthony Costanzo went in, tore his Achilles or tore his ACL in like his first game. And it was like, oh, darn it. This Steelers game.
Denzel Good?
No, that's not it. Can't think of it for the life of me. Julian Davenport's going to take over that backup role, and I think that they're going to look to draft a left tackle pretty early in the draft. When you're looking at Isaac Rochelle, he's more of a rotational defensive end guy that's going to be able to come in and try to fill that Tanico Auchi role. I really think that they're going to lean heavily on Kamoko Ture and Ben Banigou on that right side, and hopefully they re-sign Justin Houston. I think he'd be a good addition at this point, given what's out there. I was pretty upset, I think, along with most Colts fans, that Ballard didn't match some of these offers that guys got.
Right.
For like Tyus Bowser in Baltimore got like a 4-year deal at like $6.5 million per year. Like, that's stupid. Like, and I don't know whether like 3 of those years were voidable so they could just stretch out that cap hit, but like at a $6.5 million deal, that's not much of a cap hit.
Right.
Denico Autry was upset because Chris Ballard wouldn't pay him, you know, more money at age 31 than what he did at age 27 when he put him in that position to make more money. So Denico Autry started talking trash immediately about how he can't wait to play the Colts. And now twice a year when he's with Tennessee, which I think personally is going to be funny because if he lines up in the same position he lined up for Tennessee, like he lined up in Indianapolis, he's going to be playing against Quentin Nelson right there in his face. So, I mean, I don't think he understands what's about to happen to him.
Right.
It's one of those be careful what you wish for because you just might get it kind of scenarios, to quote the Pussycat Dolls, which, I mean, who doesn't?
Right.
Like, they're warrior poets, those girls. Mm-hmm. And so Denico Autry is one of those guys where I'm like, all right, man, you know, good for you. I love the fact that Anthony Walker went to the Cleveland Browns. I think that's a perfect fit for him, for the Browns. It's sad to see him go. You saw how much he meant to Darius Leonard and the linebacking core. Tavon Wilson, I think, was signed elsewhere as well. Jacoby Brissett, I'm happy that he's not in the picture. Love Jacoby Brissett as a man and as a leader and as a person in the community. I was not a fan of him as a quarterback. And I think here's the thing about Jacoby Brissett, and something that you and I, like, I nailed it, like, back, like, hit it square on the head with a hammer back in Oakland, that Oakland game after week 4, the year that he started, when he, like, finally had, like, a year under his belt with Frank Reich's system, and then Andrew Luck retired, and it was Jacoby Brissett's show. And I said to you, go back and listen to the tape from 2 years ago, I said, Jacoby Brissett, the issue with him is he doesn't throw guys open. He waits till they're open, and then he throws it. And if you listen to T.Y. Hilton when he popped on Pat McAfee's show, which Pat McAfee's show over the breaking news, like, he's getting the info straight from T.Y.,
right,
which is kind of funny. But if you listen to T.Y. Hilton on that show, he goes, you know, the difference with playing with the guys with Luck and then Brissett and Rivers is – Luck's going to throw it to that spot, whether you know it or not. Like, you could, you know, not even turn your head, and he knows where he's throwing it, and he's going to put it there.
Right.
Jacoby likes to see the route and then throw it. And Phillip just knew where everybody was going to be on the defense and knew where he had to put it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you basically have just confirmed everything that I've said about Jacoby Brissett, is that he will not throw with anticipation because he wants to see it open first. In the NFL, if you see it's open, it's not open.
Right.
Like, that's the thing. So I'm happy for Jacoby Brissett to get down to Miami. I'm glad that he got some, like, a pretty good paycheck down there to be a backup quarterback. He's going to be a great, great leader, great role model there for Tua. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that they're going to go ahead and stick with Tua for at least the next couple of years to see what they got. And my Lord, does Miami have a lot of picks.
Right.
They got some great trades that they made just this past week. So, yeah. So, for the Colts free agents, yeah, I'm excited that they got Xavier Rhodes back. I'm excited that T.Y. Hilton came back.
Mm-hmm.
Still got the restricted free agents with Mo Alie-Cox, Zach Pascal, George Odom, all restricted free agents. that were tendered. And so, yeah, there's a lot of positives about what the Colts have done. I know fans are frustrated, but
yeah,
like there, once you fix the quarterback position and once you recognize that the left tackle position is being addressed in the draft, probably really early with the pick, then you don't have a whole lot of other holes on the roster. Once they re-sign Xavier Rhodes, that helped solidify the secondary. Because right. Not only do you have Xavier Rhodes, but you also have Marvell Tell coming back from COVID.
Rock Ya-Sin and Kenny Moore, right?
And Kenny Moore.
That's a quad of players where you're like, mm-hmm. Who's got it better than us, right?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but like, I feel pretty confident on it. Here's the board between those four players, pick another four. Here's something that I wanted to mention about free agency in general. I wonder how much Chris Ballard is getting played in free agency by agents. Because if I'm the agent of a player, I am going to Chris Ballard first and saying, hey, are you interested in my guy? If he says yes, I have Chris Ballard put out a number on it. And I know no matter what, Chris Ballard's probably not pulling that offer. So that's my floor. And as an agent for a player, I would go over there and I'd say, okay, well, Chris, what's my guy worth? You know, what, and Chris goes, one year, $6 million, something like that. So if I'm an agent, I go out and I sit there and I peddle my guy out there, see if I can get anything more than that. And if I can't, if everybody's going, oh no, it's four and a half, five, 5.75, whatever. Then I go back to Chris Bowden and say, all right, yeah, all right, I'll take your deal. And Chris is like, all right, sounds good. Sign the line. And he takes him. I think that's why Chris Ballard's getting skipped over is because he's being used by agents. Honestly, because like they know that he's not going to pull out, like he was not going to pull his offer
right.
for guys like TY, for guys like this. Like he is their safety net. Like
right.
he's the person that you dated in high school that you like you had the hook in and like you always could go back to them because they would take you back,
right?
Like it didn't matter. And so I feel like Chris Ballard needs to try to kick that persona to a point, and I think he kind of did with TY. Like, you know, Jim Irsay came in at the last minute. Chris Ballard said it was going to be six was what his offer was. Baltimore apparently was offering more than what the Colts made, like what TY would make on the Colts contract period. Mm-hmm. And so that tells me the offer from Baltimore that TY turned down was probably $12 million signing bonus with like up to like $15, $18 million. And that's kind of what it would be. And then Irsay came in at the last minute and took it over. So yeah, I like our free agents that the Colts have signed. I'm excited for what they're going to do in the future.
Absolutely. And we still have, you know, to cap off our losses, for the record, if you are tallying those, Anthony Walker, who, if you go watch film, and I'm gonna get with my linebacker. I have a guy that played football at Indiana University. His name is Nick Land. He's 42, I think. Played a long time ago, boys. But I'm going to go ask him, why do you let Anthony Walker go? And I'm willing to bet, because I'm a film watcher, that Anthony Walker had become a step slow. And while he is a great mental player, his physical ability had diminished to the point where I feel like you could get a more athletic player in the draft and move forward with just a hard hitter that's a better athlete than Anthony Walker. And I mean all of the love and respect in the world, because middle linebackers really are the crux of a good defensive unit. And I like I said, like you said, and I hope you were being serious. I'm pretty sure you were, because otherwise I would have sensed that. Cleveland got a really good middle linebacker that is just going to let you down in big moments.
I don't think he's going to let you down. I love Anthony Walker, but he's not the player he used to be, and yeah. he's been supplanted in the roster. So, like, Chris Ballard is very good at drafting linebackers.
Yep.
Especially in – because the linebackers that he drafts doesn't fit every team. He's looking for smaller, faster linebackers with long arms.
Yeah.
Like, that. He's got a very precise type, and you've got, like, probably, like, six guys in this draft that really kind of fit that.
Right.
That you can get on day three.
Right.
And mind you, Anthony Walker was a day three pick, I believe. I think he was a round four pick. But like you sit there and I don't know. I don't think he's gotten slow necessarily.
He diminished, like, a little.
His value in this defense with the emergence of Bobby Okereke, mm-hmm. like you just look at his snap counts. Like he was losing snaps, like hemorrhaging snaps.
Yep.
To Okereke. And so if they had a choice of paying a guy that ultimately would be backup linebacker, you know, whatever it was, like $4.5-6 million versus letting him walk, letting these young guys come up and develop, knowing that you generally play more three safety sets, it makes a lot more sense to just let him walk rather than pay him.
Right. Now, in addition to Anthony Walker, the Tavon Wilson signed with the 49ers. And then you've still got Malik Hooker visiting other teams. And we kind of chatted before we started recording about how you may see Malik Hooker back, but you're not really losing a lot if you're losing a guy like Malik Hooker. Again, for a similar reason. He'd kind of been supplanted on the roster, wasn't getting starter snaps. And why pay a guy starter money if he's not getting starter snaps? If I remember correctly, also I want to make this point, and this is something we probably should have said way earlier in the podcast, the Colts aren't going to be super active in free agency anyway because they had like 63 guys under contract, and that was before free agency started. So for a lot of people, like, there's a 53-man roster and then a practice squad, and I think it's only like 13, right? I don't even know what the practice squad number is now, but like you only really have like about 75-ish players that you keep under some sort of either future contract, or they're on the practice squad, or they're on your active roster. So, and think about the Colts have, you know, 10 or 11 draft picks. So if you just think about, like, obviously they're creating competition, which is what, again, I might as well be reading from their Bible. They're creating competition. They're staying young, right? And by staying young, you can stay away from injury problems because guys, when they hit 30, man, I don't know how many of our listeners are over the age of 30 that can attest that your body starts breaking down when you hit 30. And I know it sucks losing household names, but I wouldn't want to be paying a guy that's a 31-year-old defensive tackle, you know, like, move on, pay a guy that's like 8 years younger than him half the money and get probably the same or if not better results, God willing. I did want to speak to, there's a portion of the community, noticeably less loud and widely shared on the internet because, Mr. Wells hasn't tweeted since like July of 2020, but there was a section of the Colts community that was like kind of pissed that Chris Ballard and the Colts for not opening their pocketbook and blowing a bunch of cash on free agents. And I just want to point out that you can Google the most active teams in free agency over like the last, I don't know, 10 years. And I tell you, the win-loss record of those active teams in free agency, it ain't pretty. So I get it. You gotta spend some dough. you only got to spend 80% of your salary cap, and you can roll the rest of that money over so that you can re-sign important players. So I want to make sure that we're framing what we're saying correctly and say the correct thing instead of the blathering that you catch on Twitter. The Colts aren't hanging on to money to re-sign guys this year. They would be hanging on to money to roll over to next year so they could re-sign guys after this season. So we're not active on in free agency as active spending big money. One, we don't need to pay players when we have a ton of draft picks and a lot of guys under contract, right? And then our needs are so succinct. In my humble opinion, quarterback, left tackle, edge. And obviously, the re-signing of Xavier Rhodes took away the need for cornerback, in my opinion, because I think that you can put Kenny in as your two, move Rakia Sin to like a support role, unless he comes back with a fire in his belly. But really, like I said, point me to a better quad of cornerbacks on the same team in the NFL, and I'll concede this argument. But I think the Colts secondary group looks really good. I really like our safeties, so I'm okay with a guy like Malik Hooker walking. And then we'd kind of chatted before we started recording about the Carson Wentz interview with Pat McAfee, and we'd both kind of seen it, so I did want to chat about that. I'll let you talk mostly, but I did want to hop in and say, man, I came away super impressed with Carson Wentz as a person. And I get it to some degree. He was doing public relations and he smashed that aspect. But I also think there's this realness to Pat McAfee. I fucking love that guy. But I don't think you go to him and are fake. I think that's the correct thing to say. And I feel like what you got,
I don't think he'd allow it.
Yeah. I think he would call you on that and be like, dude, you don't need to do that here.
I think you can be fake with Pat.
Nah, like the Bobcat back and forth was hilarious. And I think, you know, if Carson Wentz is sponsored by Bobcat and that was an ad, Pat McAfee would have been like, bro, don't bring that shit. And because it was real, I came away super impressed. I really liked his answer to the question about Coach Peterson, who, again, I want to point out is not currently a coach in the NFL. But there was rumors about how they, when he was in Philly, about how they, like, they hadn't spoken and all this garbage. And I feel like Carson set the record straight. And like I said, I really believe, and this is the guff I'm willing to take from Stampy Blue and the Colts community, is that I really think, and this is some weird multiverse theory, but if you take Phillip Rivers out and put Carson Wentz in this past season, I think the Colts could have either gone to or won the Super Bowl. I'm not also saying by adding Carson Wentz this year, the Colts are going to win the Super Bowl or go to the Super Bowl, because I believe that consistency is paramount when it comes to developing a winning organization. And if it's kind of one of those things, if not this year, the Colts are set up, in my opinion, because they're young, to be dangerous in the next several seasons. And football at the quarterback position is largely a mental game. And it's just really nice to have an athletic quarterback at that position on your roster. So I'm not going to sit up here and record a podcast and put my foot in my mouth and say that I think Carson Wentz is a top five quarterback in the NFL and the Colts are going to win the Super Bowl. No, I think that he's like a top 12 quarterback in the NFL with the right coaching and protection and weapons. And if everyone stays healthy and Carson Wentz it doesn't become a head case, there's a strong chance for like a 36 touchdown, 8 interception season and about 4,400 yards out of the kid. And I really think that the Colts will lose to the Bills in the playoffs because I still think the Bills are just damn dangerous. And again, consistency builds a winning organization. And if you look at what the Bills are doing, they're just being consistent. And I just think they're a step ahead of the Colts still. And I'll also die on that hill gladly, because if I'm wrong, then that means the Colts win. Okay. And then you can't forget about Kansas City, although I would say I think they've taken a step back. Obviously, not only losing the Super Bowl, but not necessarily like going any positive direction in free agency. Now, what do you think about the Carson Wentz interview? Kind of, where's your head at around that kind of subject matter for me, brother?
I mean, it's okay. No, I love Pat McAfee's interviews. I think he's honestly one of the best interviewers in sports.
Yeah,
because he is so disarming in the way that he approached his approach to the interview and just the entire atmosphere and the vibe he brings.
Yeah.
I think he's able to get a lot more from people than necessarily their agents or even they really want to tell. And some of that's not even stuff that is like said, like you just, like you talk to Pat and you're like, man, this is my guy.
Yeah.
You know, I feel confident talking to this guy. Like he's not going to tell anybody, even though I'm on his show. And like, you could tell Pat stuff like off there and he'll keep it for the most part. Like it's pretty cool. But I thought it was interesting to hear Carson talk about, you know, all the different things that was going on. He didn't bring up a lot, but just talked about how excited he was to be here in Indianapolis. To be with Frank Reich again, just how much that relationship meant to him. And you saw him going out and they talked about throwing balls with the wide receivers, talked about all these other things that, you know, is football related, but also was life related. And it just seems like Wentz is going to be happier here than what he was in Philadelphia, just as a person. Yeah. Because Indiana's much more Carson Wentz's style in terms of, it's kind of like Andrew Luck, honestly, not to the same, like, I don't think Carson Wentz is going to retire here in a couple of years, but it's one of those things
too where
Andrew
soon.
Luck's persona. Yeah, I know that probably was honestly like at any point, that's probably too soon. Until like the Colts win the Super Bowl again. And then they'll be like, oh, that's yeah. You know what?
Andrew who?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, please, they'll still. Yeah. But, you know, Andrew Luck was like that Midwestern style kid, even though he's from Texas and, you know, grew up in Europe and everything. Like Andrew Luck was that Midwestern persona where it's not like
he's
in your face.
Earth.
Yeah. He's down to earth. As he would say, he's a Luddite. Not quite a Luddite, but, you know, one of those people that aren't too tech savvy, even though let's be real, Andrew Luck could be as tech savvy as he ever wanted to be because the dude's a genius.
Right.
Carson Wentz is kind of the same dude where like in Philly, like he had a place in Jersey. That's where his home was. And the Philly media is relentless. Like what bothered me about Carson Wentz, the Carson Wentz press conference was not like what happened, but how the Philly media hijacked the thing.
Yeah.
And made it all about his time in Philly versus talking about how excited he was for this new opportunity with the Colts.
Right.
Like Philly media is a bunch of whiners.
Oh yeah.
Like they
they're brutal, man. They
and
call
they're
it
brutal.
They call it the city of brotherly love, but I've always wondered like whose brother do they love? Like they don't get along swimmingly with all of the people that play for their sports teams. There are darlings within that are athletes in Philly that were beloved by both Philly fans and Philly media, but that is not at all how the bigger picture plays out. Once they're out on you in Philly, they're out on you. And like you said, I do want to, I always love to bring that up. I don't get to talk about it enough, but I interviewed Pat McAfee a couple years ago. Not a couple years ago, it was last year. Well, it feels like a couple years. But basically, Pat McAfee had a he had signed an agreement with Cheez-It to have what looked like a giant Cheez-It box made into like a programming booth on this on the in the end zone of the of a bowl game. And it was, I remember it was Air Force and I think Houston, I want to say. And basically he wanted to get an article out through an outlet that he had sort of like a drawing going. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, a Stampede Blue fan won one of the tickets to go to that. But basically, as someone that's kind of been around both athletes and musicians since I came home from the Marine Corps, so about over the last 15 years, I've spent a lot of time around people that make a lot more money than I ever will. Pat McAfee was very like he felt closer to you than the phone call did. And I came into that expecting to get 5 or 10 minutes and 3 or 4 questions, and the guy was going to run off at the mouth and tell me about all this shit he had going on, and then he was going to hang up. And I'm happy to sit here and tell you, dude, we were on the phone for 45 minutes. Most of that time, we weren't talking about nothing, just bullshitting because we're both big football fans and we're both part of the media. And while, you know, I'm just a lowly Vox contracted employee and he owns his own media company, right? We're on two ends of the spectrum. I felt connected to the guy, not just because I rooted for him and he played football for the team I write for, but because he took time out of his day and didn't give me garbage, right? 5 to 10 minutes, I'm gonna get on here and ram this down this guy's throat and tell him to write my article, make me look good, and get it out. No, he gave me, I think, 39 minutes. And that's a lot. Because he wasn't getting paid for that. And obviously he was getting paid buku bucks to go to that thing for Cheez-It. So I'm probably overselling it. That's kind of what I do. But I would say the same for any other Colts player or guy that's been affiliated with the program, you know, your Reggie Wayne and your Robert Mathis. And that's kind of leading into a point I wanted to make. On top of the Colts having a bunch of guys under contract, being able to roll over some money so you can re-sign some important players next year, and ultimately, quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher, cornerback, all being problems they've started to address, right? So he could say that pretty successfully, right? Signed two tackles and an edge, re-signed Xavier Rhodes, and brought in Carson Wentz, right? Then you have 10 draft picks. And then in addition to that, the Colts are leaning on coaching. So that's kind of the point I wanted to get to. This is what I was going to tell you. As many of you know, I have started my coaching career. I have found out about I'm like super excited. I've bit my tongue. I'm trying to remain calm and not like really get excited. There's a program for veterans called Soldiers to Sidelines, which will help disabled veterans get jobs as coaches in the NFL. So your boy is on his motherfucking way. I have begun coaching. I would like to be the offensive coordinator because I designed our offense. But right now I'm just a quarterback coach for a semi-pro football team called the Indiana Cutters that plays in the Battleground Football League. Here in the end of April, we're going to travel to Cincinnati for our first scrimmage. I came in with zero experience and also one actual quarterback, and he got injured right away. His name is Xavier Tinnitus. He was a quarterback at Martinsville High School. He broke his ankle. And then it just so happened that another kid on my team. His name is DeXavier Grimble, or man, DeXavier Grimble from Molon, Mississippi, who I just found out recently just got a gym membership and had never worked out in a traditional weight room because his high school had like the old rusty metal weights and he tried to stay away from that stuff because guys were getting hurt all the time and getting tetanus and that was really happening in the 2000s. I'm so sad to say it out loud. But he just got a gym membership and he's been absolutely working his butt off. And I've seen his tape and I've worked with him both as a quarterback and a wide receiver. And when I tell you that he is 5'10", 180 pounds, and he came to me and asked me, coach, what can I do to get to the next level, whether that be arena football or the Canadian Football League or even the NFL. And I said, you know what? I'd like to see you maintain your athleticism and gain about 10 pounds of muscle, because at your age, he's only 20, 21. At your age, you can, if you can handle 10 more pounds, you'll be a little sturdier in the roles that you'll get put in. Like, he's a kick returner and a punt returner, and he's super fast. He's easily the fastest player on the field. This is a guy that runs a low 4.440, and I'm not making that up because there's no combines. He really is that fast, and he's pretty solid already. He's going to be even, in my opinion, even better athlete as a result of his willingness to learn and do all of the work. And we've got scouts that we hired to help guys that are looking for those opportunities. So when I'm not overselling this kid, this is a kid I'm telling you about. He'll play a wide receiver for us. He'll play wildcat quarterback. He'll return punts and kicks. And I'm telling you, he's going to have 20 touchdowns in 10 games. I'm telling you. And that's sort of unheard of for a skill player. We had a guy that was on the Rams practice squad. His name is Patrick Wood. He played at Kentucky Wesleyan, I believe, was a 4-year starter there. He's probably like 6'5", big old redhead Viking looking dude. He came back around, and when I tell you he's an elite arm talent and an elite football brain, he also hurt his elbow right away. So we have basically had a bunch of other guys sort of step up to fill the role. And we're going to use athletes at quarterback. So we are kind of iffy at quarterback, but think about it. Once we get Tinnitus back and once we get Wood back, we have two very experienced quarterbacks at starter and backup. And then we have a litany of athletes that will get time at the position, certainly making my entrance to coaching quarterback on a football team pretty interesting. What I have learned that I wanted to share both with Steven and with our community is, and I'm getting choked up saying it because it's real, coaching is everything. And I can't oversell that enough. When I tell you that I watched their games from last year, all of them, and then I've become friends with all of them, and I speak to them, whether it be like in a phone call or in a text message or a group chat on Facebook, or I play video games with them, and I stream on Twitch for a charity called Military and Veteran Gamers that works with USOs to get care packages into the hands of those that are deployed, displaced, or otherwise lonely, really. And then my little niece, Ziana, has leukemia, and she's kicking its ass, but it's a struggle bus. And we had a GoFundMe capitulate, so that means it like hit all its goals and then some. And today, my wife, my sister-in-law, my mother-in-law, and a bunch of other family-ish members on my wife's side all today got their heads shaved. As sort of like the, you know, we're doing this together and, you know, this is sort of like a bonding thing. And Ziana thought it was hilarious, even though she's got a tube in her throat and stuff. So it was like a big deal today. So that GoFundMe is still going. It hit its 20,000 or so goal. And that's really just to help mom and dad keep the lights on and make sure that they pay all their bills to the hospital. But I tell you all those things to tell you, I stream on Twitch so I can show you where I'm kind of coaching guys using video games to do it. and what I kind of coach toward. And so I want to make sure I tell you that, and then I can also show you where the Colts are doing the same thing. I coach towards, I've said it before, consistency. The best ability is availability. That means that you need to focus on taking care of your body. When I tell you that, I look at our offensive line and I say that our center is inconsistent and overweight, and that Seth Mackin, who started 4 years at Martinsville High School and is a young kid, came to me and said, I don't like it when people, I feel like, judge me before they know me. And I said, you know, lose 60 pounds and become a better center and this team won't lose games. And I'm not saying that it's your fault that they lost games. You have bigger problems. But I'm saying that you can never be blamed if what you're doing is productive towards the team reaching its goals. When I tell you that kid has lost 60 pounds and that he's really shown up to every single practice, even the voluntary ones, as a center in the off season, think about that, kids. Coaching is everything. And when I tell you guys like Dex are really on the come up, and I tell you that guys come in with bad attitudes, and our head coach, his name is Eric Anderson. He's coached for state champs here in Indiana. He's been an assistant at the D1 level. He's our head coach. And the reason he is coaching semi-pro football is because he has a wife and kids and wanted to kind of step away and not have so much responsibility. There also isn't money involved for him now, so it's a passion project. When he sets someone right? So, for example, this guy named Blair, who might be the second best athlete on our team, maybe in the top five if somebody else is better, came in with a bad attitude. And without taking the kid aside, and, you know, if it was me, I'd have a knife hand in his face and I'd tell him, you come in with this fucking attitude and you can stand on the goddamn sideline and I don't care, right? But that's because I'm new to coaching. What Eric did is he addressed the team and he talked about, if you aren't here for this team and you're just here for yourself, there are other teams in this league that will take players like you and let you get hurt trying to carry the torch. But if you care about us and you care about this team, then you're going to do whatever is asked of you and you're just going to put the best effort you can out there every single time. And when it's time comes for you to shine, shine you shall. But otherwise, step up. When you're asked to do something, do it, and do it to the best of your ability, and stop thinking about yourself. And when I tell you, guys with bad attitudes turn the corner because, one, they didn't feel singled out, right? Two, they feel motivated because what they were told was, your time will come. You'll get that opportunity. You just need to be a better teammate. They become better teammates. They work hard. And so what I'm really getting at is there are Colts fans out there that are upset with the way the Colts have addressed the left tackle and edge position. And what I'm telling you is, I've shown you, obviously with words, I will show you because I'm going to film the games and they'll be up on the internet, I promise. When you motivate someone to move in the right direction, guys like Sam Tevi and Julian Davenport and Isaac Rochelle, they probably have the physical profile to do this job at a high level. They just need better coaching, and then they can capitulate. They can sort of reach their potential. So I don't know anything about those players, but I have all of the faith in the world in guys like Chris Ballard to single them out, and then Frank Reich and his staff to coach him up, and then you to get good play at those positions. I'm not one of those people that thinks you could throw a dead body next to Quentin Nelson at left tackle and it'll work. No, you're going to have to get somebody that's physically capable of doing the job and mentally capable of being coached to play the position, because you have to be able to do both. I think that's sort of it for me. I just wanted to share that with everybody. We have a permanent practice facility at Bloomington South High School and a permanent home facility, also Bloomington South High School, which is a really nice turf field. And of course, I love to see Stampede Blue fans make the trek. Don't take 37. It is a nightmare. I would probably take 65 to Bloomington area. But yeah, I'd love to see Stampede Blue fans come out to our home games, and it'd be insane if you came to road games. But other than that, like I said, I'm on my path, And it's certainly going to be an interesting experience, and I kind of want to share that with you all as we go. Yeah. Are you still there?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt. Sorry. I don't have anything to add into that. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll just listen. This is a good story. I like it.
So yeah, I know I'm a shoe salesman to the most of yous, but I really do mean it when I say, like, I can't express to a group of people I don't largely know how important coaching is. You see it when you watch the NCAA tournament in men's and women's basketball. The same teams make the tournament every year, and they are always in the Sweet 16. Coaching. It's not the play. You can't have the same players for like 20 years. It's not how that works, right? And I get it. There's the Dukes and the Michigan States, and I'm not really talking about the Dukes, the Michigan States, and the Kentuckys. Hell, there's Gonzaga. There's all kinds of programs in men and women's college basketball, UConn and Maryland and Stanford. You know, these are big programs, but they have great coaching. It's not we always have the best players, because frankly, those guys go to Duke and Kentucky, Michigan State. They go to very specific programs. It's bigger and broader than that. And I'm going to hammer on that as much as we sit here and talk about players, players come and go. They get too old and you can't afford to pay guys that kind of money. Coaches are coaching is what is going to take guys like Carson Wentz to the next level. I don't, obviously, I think it kind of goes without saying Carson Wentz wasn't doing that on his own. He will. Guys that are.
Well, I think the problem with Carson Wentz last year was that he was trying to do it all on his own. And that's something that he doesn't have to do here in Indianapolis. Yeah. And Dana Orlovsky made this point on the Colts.com, their podcast after the Carson Wentz trade was official.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about it. He said, look, you know, you have 4 years of Carson Wentz tape, basically. And you've got 2017, 2019, where he was top five quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got 2020, where he was one of the worst. So what do you think he's going to be? Do you think he's going to be the type of quarterback he was for 75% of his career? Or do you think he's going to be the type of quarterback that was that one outlier year that doesn't make sense when he had catastrophic injuries at his offensive line, catastrophic injuries at his skill position players? Who's playing with, I think even like the Eagles people had said that he's basically playing with practice squad wide receivers, trying to do too much. You know, Orlovsky brought up that he had like 9 interceptions in the second half of games last year. 8 of those came from when he was from behind, which means he's pushing.
Right. Like
he's forcing the ball, trying to get it in there.
Trying to make
he's making mistakes. Here with the Colts, like you don't have that. Like
no.
You don't have to push. You like Carson Wentz winning the game is something that the Colts never hope they have to worry about.
Like yeah, he's gonna play it from ahead a lot.
Yeah. He's gonna play from ahead or he's gonna play a very conservative style. So like he's not gonna be put in that position.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's going to be really bad for him. So, like, that's where my thought is on Carson Wentz. I expect him to go back to being a top, like, you say top 12, I say top yeah. 7. And I feel really kind of like if we put the over under at 7.5 on terms of how good he would be as a quarterback, I'd be hard pressed to pick the over. Like, I'd be probably picking the under on that just because of the talent he has around him this time.
Yeah. He doesn't have to be the man. He can just be one of the guys.
Yeah.
You know? He's got, you know, I kind of played this game on Twitter with an unruly human. I'm not even going to give him the shine of saying who they are. But somebody sent me, I don't get very many of these, so it is pretty crazy when it happens. But I got like a private message on Twitter from someone that I've never interacted with before. And they said, Dangerous.
They
made it personal right away, which immediately I didn't accept. I blocked and moved on with my life because who the hell are you? But basically, they said, "I bet you're happy." The Colts signed bum ass Carson Wentz, and he's gonna come out there and throw a bunch of picks and da 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 da. And I replied to him, "Can you name the Eagles starting running backs from last year and wide receivers from last year? Also, could you tell me the average age of the wide receivers before all the injuries? And then can you name some wide receivers from the Eagles from last year?" And the guy said it didn't matter. And I blocked him because, okay. But that's to your point. Most of the people that are saying Carson Wentz is bad and the Colts made a bad decision are the kind of people that live in an at-will employment state where their personal performance at their job, if, you know, it's that Top Gun quote, if you screw up just this much, you'll be, you know, flying cargo planes full of rubber dog shit out of Hong Kong, right? Meaning you can just lose your job if you have a bad day. That's the kind of people that look at Carson Wentz having a bad season and write him off. And then say the Colts overpaid and he's going to come in here and he's going to stink up the place. And I'm sorry to tell you, Frank Reich isn't going to let him do that. This is a run first team with usable athletes. And I'm saying that is sort of selling some people short. Usable athletes at the slot and tight end position, making the quarterback's job very easy. And then you have a guy like T.Y. on the outside. So you can run the ball down people's throat, and then you could use things like screens, jet sweeps, to get the ball into those guys' hands without putting the ball at risk, which is what dumb people call passing the ball downfield. And then when you decide to put the ball at risk, I really think Michael Pittman came on really strong at the end of last year, and that T.Y. Hilton is a perfect pairing with an athletic quarterback like Carson Wentz, so that when the play does break down, and I don't think it'll happen very often, I said before we started recording, just a few times a game, Carson Wentz has the unique, and I say unique because there's only about 8 guys in the league that you could really count on to do this, but Carson Wentz is just athletic enough to escape out of the pocket, and he can throw an accurate football without resetting. A guy like Marcus Mariota was really good at throwing the ball on the run without having to reset his feet. He was just terrible otherwise. So like I've said before, I wouldn't put him over like a Patrick Mahomes or over like a Josh Allen. But he's up there in what he's capable of. And again, it'll all come down to coaching and execution, and guys being football nuts. And I think that's what you've got with this Chris Ballard roster. Because that's what it really is, right? It's really not the Indianapolis Colts. It's Chris Ballard's roster that he's constructed, is full of people that are super passionate about football, not just from an on-field thing. It's like these guys are getting together to watch film for fun. Like, those are the teams that come out and put whoopings on people. So I'm a shoe salesman. I'll sell you the shoes you're wearing. But I'm super excited about the Colts. I'm more excited about this season because of the ceiling is higher. It's just, again, you're bringing in a new quarterback, so the floor is sort of the same. I think we said 10.5 last year was sort of our floor, just because of the schedule. So we've hit about as many topics as I think we can, brother. Do you got anything else before we tell them how to contact us on social media and get out of here?
No, not really. Everybody, if you get an opportunity, try to get yourself vaccinated.
Absolutely.
Things are starting to open up. Hopefully we can have somewhat normal fall. I'm looking forward to finding out this week about pro days I wonder which pro days Chris Ballard will go to, because it seems like a pretty consistent thing that for whoever he takes in the first round, he ends up going to that pro day. He did it with Quentin Nelson. And then he did it for, I believe, Ohio State with Malik Hooker. I'm not sure. He's been to a couple schools, Northwestern, Alabama, both have pro days that Ballard attended. And so, guys, keep an eye on there. Rashawn Slater, the left tackle from Northwestern, along with Greg Newsom II, cornerback. And then Alabama, you got so many players from Alabama with Alex Leatherwood and Patrick Surtain right there near the top. Deion Brown's another guy that could be a mid-round sleeper there at the guard position. Mm-hmm. At Alabama, but there's a couple big ones this week with Miami and Notre Dame. So be interested to see if he hits up either of those. He normally goes to Notre Dame's just because it's local.
Yep.
Right up the road. So yeah, we'll see. I'm excited for the Colts projection. I like what they've done in free agency. I think there's still a few more holes to address. Mm-hmm. They're still in talks with Justin Houston from the rumor mill and two quote unquote sources. Still talking to Justin Houston. I think they're going to bring in a veteran or Al-Qadi Muhammad, bring somebody back there that knows the system. And then I think they're going to look to three positions in the draft early. And it's left tackle, defensive end, and pass catcher. And by pass catcher, I mean either wide receiver or tight end, because they need that move F tight end. Mm-hmm. And the wide receiver position, you've got to look at this like T.Y. is on a one-year deal because he's on a one-year deal. So you have to start planning for that future. Same thing with Xavier Rhodes at the cornerback position. You have to start planning for the future beyond this year, because in all likelihood, they're not going to be there next year. So, yeah, that's just some things, last little things. Think about. Remember to follow us all on social media. Follow Jared at Likely Alien. Follow myself, Steven Reed at Nice Read Steve on the Twitter machine. Follow the podcast at Pod Pancake. Remember to rate and review us 5 stars on wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Absolutely. And thank you to Steven for getting with me and keeping the podcast going here. We're somewhere in the neighborhood of about 70 episodes. And I heard something the other day that kind of motivated me. It's something I've told my wife, because my wife and I have a true crime podcast called Taylor Ruins Jared's Day. 2% of podcasts make it to 100 episodes. We're going to hit that. But I just like to put it out there that ego is like a big deal, and frequently pairs of peers, someone's ego gets into a spot where they feel like they need to go it alone, or they've gotten a little too big for the show. So I don't think that's going to happen here. At least it ain't for me. My shoes ain't too big. They fit just right. But yeah, please follow us and rate us. This will help people that don't already know we exist find us. I don't know about you, but I would love to get a job in sports media. That'd be awesome. I mean, I'd love to be a coach, right? But that's something that's going to happen over time. It's not going to be something that happens tomorrow, but like a job in sports media, guys get those opportunities because they're already doing the thing, right? So that's why it's not so much for me. I don't know about you, brother. I don't get excited over likes and retweets. I appreciate the hell out of them, but what those likes and retweets could mean is more important than what they mean to me. So we thank you and we appreciate you. And again, we'll try to come to the table with substance up until the season starts, and then it'll be a weekly thing. Fair? Please continue to wear masks, social distance. I do want to close with the mask goes over your nose and you look really stupid when you lower your mask to talk.
That's the entire point of the mask, is to cover your mouth and cover your nose. So, yeah.
Especially when you're expelling saliva as you, you know, slur at the person at the counter at the gas station. You should keep your mask over your nose, because when you breathe out your nose, you're expelling snot, which can carry COVID. And remember, 70% of people with COVID don't experience symptoms. And I know a lot of people are like,
I think the important thing is to just stay safe, guys. Before we get too far down another rabbit hole, stay safe, wear a mask when you're in public. Unless you're eating at a restaurant, make sure you try to get vaccinated as quick as possible, because the more people that can get vaccinated, the quicker we can all return to normal life. And I know some people don't want to. I've heard one friend that said that they think the vaccine will change their DNA, and I go, you've got to be joking me. There's the vaccine will not change your DNA. Whatever website you read that on is peddling you lies. That's just not how mRNA works. It's science, and I know apparently trust the science is a bad thing now, and I'm like, I don't know what to tell you guys. Like,
be safe.
I am a scientist. I have an engineering degree. I biomedical engineer. When I was in college, I can tell you that's not how our mRNA works. It does not change your DNA. So if that is a concern,
hey, please, I'm stupid and not a biomedical engineer, and I don't
vaccinated. Please get vaccinated. But yeah, other than that, I don't think I have anything else. So,
all right. Well, hey, this has been Afternoon Pancakes, and we'll see you soon.